Hallelujah, Yeshua. What's the meaning of the word Jews in the Bible? Confusion over this issue has caused millions, hundreds of millions, perhaps over a billion people, to be kept from the love of God and have a life totally in bondage and motivated by hate instead of love, keeping people from knowing the love of God. This is not a little deal. When we went through and studied the feasts of the Lord, we saw that they're not Jewish feasts, they're feasts of the Lord. And yet we find a term, feasts of the Jews, in the New Testament. So what's the truth regarding this? Let's try to understand this term Jews in the Bible. One of the most sad and grievous things in the whole realm of religion is how that some people have so perverted and twisted and wrested the scriptures so as to justify Jew hatred and anti-Semitism. And these sad, sorry, deceived, and deluded people are champions of Satan the devil. And they compound their iniquity by doing their work for the devil in the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible says they are going to be cursed. Racism is a work of iniquity. Christians have experienced and know the love of God, and they're motivated by love. By this will all men know that you are my disciples, the Lord Jesus Christ said. How could anyone who claims to be a Christian be motivated by hate? This is a work of iniquity. Racism is a work of iniquity, and iniquity is the only thing that keeps any sinner out of the kingdom of heaven. In Matthew chapter 7, the Lord Jesus Christ said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, haven't we cast out devils in thy name, and done many wonderful works in thy name? Then will I say unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So let's understand the meaning of the word Jews in the Bible. Christians should not hate anyone, especially not Jews. In the New Testament, over 20 times we are told that Yeshua, Jesus, is the King of the Jews. Yet these people do not want to obey the King. They will say that they have somehow replaced Israel. They will say that they are the true Jews, and nothing could be further from the truth. And yet they use the name of Jesus to justify their devilish, demonic hatred of Jews. Indeed, they are the ones who say they are Jews and are not. But it's much more sure that these Jew haters who claim to be Christians, who call themselves Christians while hating Jews, are not Christians. Yes, there are indeed those who say they are Jews and are not. But it is much more sure that these Jew haters who call themselves Christians are not Christians. Some estimate that perhaps only 2% of those who call themselves Christians really are. In this crooked generation, which is on a collision course with the judgment of God Almighty, these hate groups, and the most obvious, of course, is Islam, but there are various other identity hate groups, the Nazis, many hate groups are often called identity groups by their perversion and wresting of the scriptures. And these identity hate groups serve the devil in the name of Jesus Christ, compounding their sin and iniquity. God has said that he will bless those who bless the Jews and curse those who curse them. Somehow the devil has so twisted these racial identity groups to hate the people that God said we are to bless. Unless they repent, people like Pete Peters are most certainly going to go to hell. Racism and anti-Semitism is a work of iniquity, and heaven will be full of redeemed sinners, but there will be no workers of iniquity. Those are important words in Matthew chapter 7, verses 22 and 23. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. The identity racial hate groups will be cursed by God. The truth is that Yeshua, Jesus, is King of the Jews. And therefore, if you claim to love Jesus, you must love and identify with the Jewish people. Yes, we must love the Jews. It's not optional. The physical descendants of Abraham. Abraham was the friend of God, and he had a covenant with God. Yes, we must love the Jews. Abraham had a covenant with God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we must bless and love these people, or else we will stand the very real possibility of being cursed by the God of Abraham. Here's the best definition of a Jew ever written. Romans chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Be a God-pleaser. And that is how this definition from the Word of God defines a Jew. I hope you can identify with that. Are you a God-pleaser? We should identify with that. And let us stand with and be complimented to be called Jews and Jew lovers. It's truly a compliment, because that's what a Jew is. He's a God-pleaser. To be real, genuine Christians, you can be no other way. Now, what about the Jews delivering Jesus to be crucified? They were the designated priests of God, brethren. They had to be the ones to sacrifice the Lamb of God. What a big mistake the devil made when he got the Jewish high priest to sacrifice the Lamb of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. These are my feasts, saith the Lord. God does not change. How come the New Testament makes reference to feasts of the Jews? The word Jews is found 175 times in the New Testament and 65 times in John's Gospel. John is the only one who makes this reference to feasts of the Jews. God does not change. These are my feasts, saith the Lord. They are feasts of the Lord. And soon we will see that John confirms and affirms that truth. John's Gospel is most often used by these apostate identity hate groups. The perverse so-called identity groups use John's Gospel to make negative and misleading and false statements to induce hatred of the Jews. They will say such things as, the Jews did persecute Jesus. The Jews sought to kill him. The Jews spoke against him. The Jews did not believe him. The Jews took up stones to stone him. The Jews put pressure on Pilate to kill him. And all of these statements may be wrested from John's Gospel, and what it demonstrates is a willing ignorance in how the Scripture can be wrested. And it is a classic example of not rightly dividing the Word of Truth. The anti-Semitic atrocities committed in the name of the Church of Jesus Christ through these last 1600 years, which claimed New Testament justification, requires repentance, brethren, and not continued perverse wresting of the Scriptures. It helps nothing to assume such a long history of perverse action justifies the atrocities in any way. Rightly dividing the Word of Truth should have stopped such atrocities from the beginning. But the historical Jew hatred, especially from the Roman Catholic Church, is one long, gross, sad history of iniquity. Anyone who would rightly divide the Word of Truth would show that Yeshua and the New Testament strongly condemn anti-Semitism Any form of ethnic or racial hatred is condemned as a work of iniquity. To say that the Jews, as used in John's Gospel, meant the whole nation was against him is ridiculous. That would be about the same as saying that the white people in America opposed Abraham Lincoln and had him killed. Did all the white people in America oppose Abraham Lincoln? Did all the white people in America have Abraham Lincoln killed? It does not take a rocket scientist mentality to recognize that it was a very small religious group which opposed Jesus. Do you consider Jesus your king? I hope so. The Bible says 22 times in the New Testament that Jesus is the King of the Jews. Does that make you want to be a Jew so that Jesus, who is the King of Jews, will be your king? Indeed, this is the meaning which Paul gives us, that Jesus, Yeshua, is the King of the God-pleasers. Do you identify with this? Do you desire Jesus as your king? Be a God-pleaser, not a self-pleaser or a man-pleaser. You cannot claim to be a Christian and hate Jews. I'm going to say it again. You cannot claim to be a Christian and hate Jews. You cannot. That is an oxymoron. Those are mutually exclusive possibilities. No Christian can hate Jews. He can't hate anyone. He doesn't hate anyone, and especially he does not hate the Jews. He knows that his Lord, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, is also King of the Jews. Every time, every single time, brethren, all 66 times that John uses the word Jews in his gospel, he uses the Greek word iudios. That's the number 2453 in the Strong's. The best definition of iudios would be that small religious group of rulers of Judea. Iudios would be the Jew which was distinguished as a Judean Jew, especially in that particular temple religious complex. And that word iudios would distinguish that small group of Jews in that temple religious complex from all other Jews, such as Galilean Jews or Jews from the diaspora. It most certainly would not represent the entire Jewish race or nation. To say or to believe that all Jews hated and wanted to kill Jesus makes as much sense as to say that all the white people in America hated and wanted to kill Abraham Lincoln. And it must also be remembered that it was necessary for the designated high priest to offer the sacrifice which would sprinkle the blood of the sin offering on the mercy seat. 1 Corinthians 2:8, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And now we come to that term that John uses, Feast of the Jews. And here again, we see the fact that John's gospel use of Jews invariably represents that small subgroup of Jewish religious rulers in Jerusalem. That's what John's talking about, that small group of religious rulers in Jerusalem. Every single time, that's always what the word Jews means when John uses it. That small group of religious rulers in Jerusalem. There were three feasts of the seven feasts of the Lord wherein Jewish men were required to go up to Jerusalem, specifically to the Temple Mount. And that is what makes a Jew to be a devout man, like in Acts 2:5. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Devout men were the men who would come in from the diaspora, all over the world, to go to the Temple Mount in Jerusalem for those three required feasts of the Lord. The three required feasts of the Lord are Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. That's precisely the usage and exactly what John is doing when he uses the term Feast of the Jews. John is designating that the feast was one of the feasts of the Lord where the men were required to go up to the temple complex in Jerusalem. Three of those seven feasts of the Lord. He's designating that it was one of those three required feasts. And that use of the word Jews in John's Gospel always refers to that small group in that religious complex at the temple, are those directly under their control or influence. In no other case, other than the exception of being king of the Jews, would it refer to a race or a nation, physical or spiritual. Leviticus 23, verse 2, "Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them concerning the feasts of the Lord, which you have proclaimed to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts." The feasts of the Lord, as John uses the term feasts of the Jews, was specifically used to designate a feast in which devout men would go to the temple in Jerusalem. The feasts of the Lord, what is it all about? What does it mean? They are feasts of the Lord, and it didn't change. John's usage of that term, feasts of the Jews, was specifically used to designate a feast in which the devout men would go to the temple in Jerusalem. Either the Passover feast of the Lord, the Pentecost feast of the Lord, or the Tabernacles feast of the Lord. That's what John meant. And that was the specific designation that John made when he used that term, feast of the Jews. For men had to go to the temple complex in Jerusalem for those specific feasts of the Lord in order to be devout men. It's important for us to understand this. We should be ready to stand against the perverters and the resters and the twisters of Scripture who misuse the term Jew in the Gospels and rest and pervert it to justify the iniquity of racism in general and anti-Semitism in particular. It was the burden of the Lord for the designated high priest to sacrifice the once-for-all sin offering of the Lamb of God, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Yeshua Messiah was crucified because of my sin. Jesus Christ was crucified because of your sins too. And this is the understanding that we must have, that Jesus Christ, who is come in the flesh, was sacrificed on the cross of Calvary for my sins and your sins. I am justified by the faith in that perfect sacrifice of the Lamb of God for my sins. That does not give me a license to sin. By the power of the Holy Spirit, it gives me the power to stop sinning. And that is the real Christian faith, which establishes the law. Whenever anybody mentions that word law, and when we read in the Scripture, we should ask the Holy Spirit, what law are we talking about? There's three or four different kinds of law, and we got to know which law it is that we're talking about, or which law it is that we're reading when we read that word law in the Scriptures. Do we then make void the law through faith? Good question, isn't it? Paul asked this question, Romans 3:31. Do we then make void the law through faith? Some people do this. It's perverse, brethren. They're resting the Scriptures. It could end up taking them to hell. It's a good, important question that Paul asks in Romans 3:31. He asks the question, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. Hallelujah. I hope this helps you understand that there is no way that anyone can hate Jews and claim to be a Christian. It's impossible. If you don't love the Jews, you are not a Christian. If you hate anybody, you're not a Christian. So I hope this clears up the confusion. And one of the sure tests of the Spirit in these last days, ask people to talk about their love for the Jews. If they're a Christian, they will tell you they love the Jews, and they'll mean it. And you'll see it by their actions. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua.